Imagine looking at your shadow on a wall. Simple, right? But what if I told you that shadow reveals the existence of parallel universes? In The Fabric of Reality, physicist David Deutsch shows how everyday phenomena like light passing through slits creates interference patterns that can only be explained if photons are accompanied by invisible shadow photons from parallel universes. These aren't science fiction fantasies, but mathematical necessities of quantum physics. When a single photon passes through two slits simultaneously, something must be influencing it from elsewhere. That something is its counterparts in parallel universes, which are just as real as our own. What we call tangible reality is merely one slice of a vast multiverse where countless versions of you are reading these very words right now. Some understanding them better, others having wandered off for coffee. Science isn't primarily about predicting what will happen, it's about explaining why things happen. This distinction transforms how we understand knowledge itself. Imagine an alien device that could perfectly predict any experimental outcome without explaining why. While useful, it would be severely limited, unable to design a spaceship or explain how to fix flaws. It could only tell us what would happen in specified tests. Even in weather forecasting, where prediction seems paramount, explanations remain crucial. Without understanding why weather patterns develop, we couldn't judge a forecast's reliability or make practical decisions based on it. The view that scientific theories are merely tools for prediction, instrumentalism, misses the point entirely. Most theories are rejected without testing because they contain bad explanations. We don't bother testing theories like eating grass cures colds because they explain nothing. Science's real purpose is explaining the world, which often requires reference to unobservable entities that are nonetheless part of reality's fabric. Knowledge isn't just expanding, it's deepening. While specific theories multiply, they're continually being absorbed by deeper, more general theories that are becoming fewer, yet more powerful. Think of architecture's evolution. Ancient builders relied on specific rules with narrow applications, while modern architects use fewer, more general theories with vastly greater explanatory power. Despite understanding incomparably more than their predecessors, modern architects require no longer training because their theories have properties like beauty and inner logic that make them easier to learn. Even in medicine, where specialization seems inevitable, biochemical research discovers common molecular mechanisms for dissimilar diseases, replacing specific concepts with general ones. The growth of knowledge has two opposing effects. Increasing breadth makes understanding everything harder, while increasing depth makes it easier. I believe depth is winning. We're moving toward a state where one person could understand everything that is understood, but only if reality itself is highly unified. Eventually, our theories will become so general and integrated that they'll effectively become a single theory of unified reality. How can we infer grand conclusions from scant evidence? We don't directly perceive external reality, but only electrical impulses in our nerves. Yet we interpret these as evidence of a vast, complex multiworld. Science isn't about generalizing observations, as inductivism claims. Did we observe one universe, then another, before inducing there are trillions? Of course not. Karl Popper's view is more accurate. Science is a problem-solving process that begins not with observation, but with problems, ideas that seem inadequate and worth improving. We solve problems by proposing new theories, then subjecting them to criticism, comparing which offers better explanations. Science seeks not eternal truth, but the best explanation available now. This process resembles biological evolution. Both create knowledge through variation and selection, with science doing so more efficiently through conscious criticism rather than natural selection's blind process of death and reproduction. When you look around the room right now, what you're experiencing isn't direct reality, but a rendering created by your brain. All our direct experience of the world is actually virtual reality. Our unconscious minds generate renderings from sensory data and interpretive theories. Flight simulators exemplify this principle technologically. They can be programmed with characteristics of real or imaginary aircraft, providing visual images and physical sensations that respond appropriately to the pilot's actions. What's responding isn't an engine, but a computer running calculations. Yet these calculations are real physical processes occurring in a real physical object. Once we understand the neural codes our sensory organs use to communicate with the brain, we could directly stimulate the relevant nerves, creating feelies that let us experience ocean waves and sea air without leaving home. The true heart of virtual reality is the computer that simulates the environment. The sensors and image generators are merely the interface. Most profoundly, every scrap of our knowledge, from physics to philosophy to fantasy, is encoded as programs for our brain's virtual reality generator. This relationship with virtual reality is what defines humanity's ecological niche. Virtual reality rendering is the characteristic means by which humans survive. Life isn't about special physical substances, but about replication and knowledge. Genes function as computer programs, causing environments to copy them through complex control mechanisms. A replicator must causally contribute to its own copying. Its specific physical form makes a difference to whether copying occurs. From the multiverse perspective, knowledge-bearing matter forms regular structures across universes, like crystals in the multiverse, while non-knowledge matter appears random. When cosmic rays cause mutations, they strike DNA differently across universes. The knowledge-bearing gene segment maintains the same sequence across most nearby universes because mutations that alter it would prevent replication, while junk DNA varies greatly. Living organisms maintain recognizable forms across many universes, while non-living structures vary completely. Life creates the largest distinctive structures in the multiverse. Though we've underestimated life's physical impact by being too parochial, the future may be dominated by life's effects throughout the cosmos. Time doesn't flow as we intuitively think. The common understanding imagines time as a line with a moving present moment sweeping from past to future. But when we try to illustrate this consistently, we discover it can't actually move. At each moment, now is simply that moment. Different snapshots of ourselves perceive different moments as now, but they don't take turns being conscious. They all exist simultaneously. Physics treats time as a fourth dimension alongside space, creating space-time, where all of physical reality, past, present, and future, exists unchangeably. However, this contradicts our understanding of causation. The paradox dissolves when we understand physical reality as the multiverse, a vast collection of slightly interacting space-times. In the multiverse, counterfactuals refer to variants that actually exist somewhere. An event X causes Y in our universe if both occur here, but in most variant universes where X doesn't happen, Y doesn't either. Our traditional theories of time fail because they try to express these intuitions within false classical physics. We are not alone in our universe. We are connected through quantum reality to countless other versions of ourselves. This isn't just abstract physics, it's the fundamental nature of existence. By understanding these deep connections, we gain not just knowledge about reality, but about our place within its intricate, beautiful fabric.